I am unashamed. What about you?
So, welcome to Unashamed. We're just kind of catching up on the week that was. Dad, you got any Miss K news for us?
Miss K news? Well, these women, they start getting a few years on them. And I guess men, too. But she...
you think? You know,
two days ago, she was saying, she just walked by and she said, you need to help me. I just need to lose a little weight, you know. So...
That's a tough question.
I thought to myself, okay, she's aware that she's a little bit too plump. So, as if I cared, which I don't.
Well, that would have been a good thing to say.
Yeah, it's
a good thing to say. But she said, you know,
help me.
She asked for help to lose weight.
Okay.
So, this morning, you know, she was with one of the sisters, you know, and they travel around. They go to town and back and this and that and other. They shop. They go to flowers to shops and this and that and other. So I just told her, I said, well, look, every time y'all do that, you always eat out, meaning go to a restaurant. On Sundays, Miss K has an entourage of individuals all in one group, and they go. She always foots the bill, as it turns out. And they have a big feed.
Not that that's relevant. But.
So I just got to looking at it. They're having a lot of feeds. And I said, well, why don't you just, instead of every time on Sundays, to take the entourage and buy everyone a dinner, I said, why don't you just do that maybe once or twice a month? You would eat less.
Mm-hmm.
Your bank account wouldn't suffer as much.
You're giving her good, sound, practical advice
you'd
that she asked for.
I shot that shotgun over her head that you just got through cleaning. Boy, she flared. I said, you're the one that said, help me lose some weight. One thing is push the grub away from yourself a little bit. Yeah. I just thought it might work, you know. I know it was just some in-depth thinking there, but...
You know what's
maybe
crazy?
Maybe don't eat as much.
What's crazy,
I'm not
Phil.
Sure she really wanted the advice there.
I never seen. I mean, she had them two or three sisters. They all started barking at me. I said, she asked about losing weight. I'm giving her the deal. Back off the grub a little.
Yeah.
So I got chewed out this morning. I said, all right.
It doesn't give me any comfort to know that the older I get.
You young bucks for when your wife says, will you help me, Chase? Will you help me lose some weight if Missy comes to you?
Oh, man.
Be careful, tread. Well, you're treading.
That's what I was trying to say.
Do you really mean it?
When she asked me that, I'm going to say no. Based on that story.
No advice.
She needs to understand. I won't help her. I don't care, but I mean, you know, when you're having trouble getting in the door, you got to go sideways, whatever. I said, well, maybe you can push your grub back a little bit. Don't eat as much.
Did she just say sideways to the door?
Now, the doctors told me with the back trouble, eat more because you're getting a little thin. So I was told to eat more. Miss K, I told her, don't eat as much. So, but.
Tough balance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see where you really did anything wrong there.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, but.
But I got chewed out for it.
I know.
I took it well. I said, well, if she wants to lose weight, do something besides push that plate back.
Maybe she just wanted to be comforted. And
so I think probably when she said, will you help me lose weight, you should have said what you thought, which was, you're fine.
Yeah. I never said,
actually,
honey,
when you tried
to
help.
Getting a little plump there. No, I didn't say anything about all that.
Yeah.
But she just said, help me lose some weight. And I said, well, don't eat as much.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a crazy thought. You know.
Oh, man.
Eat more vegetables, lay off the.
We may have a test case for this crazy little thing called marriage.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said after you did that commercial. I'm like, well, I call my wife crazy all the time. Yeah. To her.
Well, I've been running with your mother for 60 years. I think that's the first time she's ever said, help me lose some weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, well, okay. Don't eat as much. Well, I didn't want to hurt the woman's feelings. So I said, well, maybe just don't eat as much. You know, you talking to me? I said, I'm trying to answer my help for you. So that's what I would think about, just sort of.
Well, a wise man told me one time, don't ask the question if you can't stand the answer. So I guess
of course the dumbest move I ever pulled is when I told that girl up at church, one of the sisters, I love her as a sister, Bill Smith's daughter, and I said, "Good night, girl. I didn't know you were pregnant." Mm. She said, "I'm not." Mm. I said, "Okay." Mm.
That's what we call that a DED. Don't ever do. Don't ever ask that question. Oh, wow. Man. That's pretty funny. Well, I'll have to get mom's side. I may have more to report on future podcasts. So I want to hear this now.
Oh yeah. This will be brought up again for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Zach, I was looking this last week. I don't know if you can see this on the thing here. They might can show a picture of it. So this was the movie poster.
Is this the poster?
Yeah,
you
for
have?
The blind.
Phil, that's the way you looked when you were.
Yeah.
That's the guy playing me.
That's the guy playing you.
Well, that's you at 25 or 30.
And then the actress playing mom. So I thought it was really interesting. Got a little hunting in the background there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of people have been commenting about it since the poster came out.
Oh, look at this. The true story of the Robertson family. Mm. See, I like that. You weren't here the day I made a proposal for an amendment to not the Bible itself, but the name.
Yeah.
I don't think Zach was here.
No, it was when we were first opening Luke. Yeah.
I asked who put the word Bible on the Bible, and it was crickets here. Nobody had ever thought about it. And so, which that means book of books, and I never got a clear answer. But I said, I would rather them say the true story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you down with that?
I like it. Yeah.
The true story. You know how you watch a movie or you read a book, is it true? So I like that.
Not based on a true story, the true story.
Yeah, not based on the true story of Jesus. Because really I made this, you know, my pitch about what the Bible's about. Jesus is coming. Yeah. Old Testament. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming back. I mean, Jesus was God's choice to reveal himself. He's, you know, and he spoke by prophets and prophecy, what's Hebrew say? But in these last days, he's chosen to speak to us through his son. He's the image of the invisible God. It's the true story of Jesus.
Yeah, it's one thing that the atheists wrestle with, and they never cover the information such as fruit of the Spirit. All scripture is God breathed and is useful.
Yeah.
And there's a list of little things there that, what's the first one?
And is useful for training, teaching, training, rebuking.
Rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God be thoroughly equipped. Yeah. The atheists look at that and they don't touch that. They will not touch that. So.
Well, if they don't believe, Phil, they're probably not going to get past Genesis 1:1.
Yeah.
But I see your point.
Gordon and I, we came together with a book. It's coming out. And the book is what it's like when love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Atheists never talk about this. They never discuss it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those topics. They just don't talk about them at all.
No.
The Bible does, and I would just say the difference between the Bible and all other books, most books, they don't cover that kind of material.
No, it is the book of books. I wasn't arguing that, but I was saying it is the true story of Jesus.
Yep.
So I didn't mean to hijack your movie promo, but I like that. I thought you must have listened to the podcast.
You know what? I'm going to give you credit for it, Jace. That's what we...
Did you?
No,
really?
We didn't listen. No, yeah. I didn't. But I agree.
Jace, you were the catalyst. You had half of it right, and the other half was hanging in the breeze.
On what?
But the book. And the book.
On your book?
After all the talking.
We're still talking
people,
about a title.
I feel like we're talking about three different things at one time.
We are.
No, it's the same thing.
Well, we were talking about the Bible, the true story of Jesus. We were talking about the movie, The Blind, the true story of the Robertson.
The Blind.
And you're talking about your book, which is called what?
Well, that's what he was about to tell you. So we've been kicking for a while. We were calling it Jesus Resume, didn't quite land with our folks. And so we've been working on a new title. And the one that everybody seems to love, which you'll love this, Jace, is I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It.
That's what they named the book.
This is the very shirt I
I gave you the credit. I could be wrong.
Are y'all serious?
No, it's, we're serious.
Because on the back of your shirt, Jace, all you have to do.
I don't have anything on the back of my shirt.
I know, but.
That's why something needs to be there. You know what it is?
What?
I doubt it. So when the book people heard that, they said, good night, that's it. I said, well, I told Jace that he had half of it right. So I could be wrong.
The
you
second,
know,
the,
I'm not sure. I don't know if I like that for a book. That seems too sarcastic.
Well, the description line, because there's always a dot dot dot, describes what the book is about. So just
the whole book
is supposed to grab your attention.
Yeah, the whole book is. So you have a problem with loving each other, loving your neighbor, love, joy.
No, I get it.
Instead of singing the blues, you're just always down. I said, what about if you were joyful in the face of anything that comes your way? Peace. You're a peacemaker. It's like a lot of people, the atheist thinks we don't like them. I love them.
Well, I like your
I used to be in their camp.
I like your tagline. I think it should be like Jesus something.
It is.
Then say.
It's in there.
I could be wrong.
Jesus is in the title.
And then you go dot, 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 but I doubt it. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Read the book and you'll see. You say, check it out.
That's what they like right now. So we're,
I know this.
We haven't settled on it finally.
Yesterday morning, look, four people came great distances. Yeah. Husband, wife, husband, wife. And somebody.
I met two of them.
What we do going in, we say, how many came here to participate in the new birth? You know, we have a warm pool of water in there. No gators, like down at my house where you'd walk out, where it's alligators from time to time. Mm. Cotton mouths are there time to time. But it's a good, safe place. No one's ever been mauled by a gator or bitten by a cotton mouth. But the risk is there.
Yeah.
I said, y'all have come, a warm pool of water at a good temperature. So four of them raised their hand, said, we drove all the way down there to hear that. We want to do that.
Yeah, that
so
was
we
good.
Walked in the little pool of water back there. We baptized them. It's that way every week, so it's a cool thing. I love it.
Yeah.
Where were you at? I can't remember. What were you
talking
about?
I thought
you were going to tell something.
Well, you usually give your marketing scheme about the movie, so I was giving you a segue, but I guess you were daydreaming. I was throwing it to you,
well,
Zach, for the blind.
Zach got caught up in the conversation bouncing back and forth between the book and the movie.
So what's that book?
Yeah, I was the book to, the book.
So what was it, the guy who said, and then he phrased it up, said, you know, like I was blind but now I see. What verse is that?
Well, that's Amazing Grace.
Yeah, Amazing Grace.
I was blind.
But now I see.
I once was blind.
Yeah, I once was blind.
But now I see.
So
I'm saying kudos,
whoever dreamed that up, kudos to that.
Well, it was a biblical concept.
It was biblical, and it does have everything to do with the story of Jesus for sure.
So one of our newer sponsors is a company called Barrel Buddy. And we've talked about them before. They help you with cleaning your guns. I guess, Jace, it's not something we really love doing, but it's something you have to do, right?
If you're you got to enjoy the process, Al. If you want to eat well, you have to shoot good. If you want to shoot good, you have to have a functional gun.
That's exactly right, and a clean barrel. It's a dirty job. And in the old days, you know, we used to have these patches. They never worked very well. They came up with a rope cleaning system, but you really couldn't tell if your barrel was clean or not. And so these guys have come up with a new product. It compresses to fill the interior of your gun's barrel, so it's going to make sure and clean the grooves. It comes in seven different sizes to match any caliber firearm. It's composed of polymers that don't leave behind residue and particles, so it's safe, which is a great concept. And it's going to basically absorb and clean as it goes. And so you can even lubricate your firearm while you're cleaning it. So great product, great company, believers. Zach and I, when we first met with them, these guys are the real deal. We opened in prayer, which is always a good thing. They're like us. They started with a need, and they came up with a great concept. So check these guys out. We guarantee you'll love them. Barrel Buddy, B-A-R-R-E-L, Buddy, barrelbuddy.com. barrelbuddy.com. Check them out.
Yeah, so the true story of Phil Robertson and Kay Robertson, the Robertson family origin story, is definitely rooted in the true story of Jesus. But this week, yeah, this was incredible. We put out the poster, which is just the poster art for the film, just to, people could kind of get a look at what it looks like. I think by the time this podcast releases, you'll be able to see a teaser trailer of the film, so you'll get an idea of what it's going to feel like. You can go to theblindmovie.com and put your email in, then you can get access. We'll send you the early access to the teaser trailer. But man, I'm going to tell you guys, it was incredible. We had, I don't know how many millions of impressions we had from that initial post. A ton of people.
Could it have been like 100 people just doing it over and over?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I was just checking. That's what
no, it did. It no, I watched that pretty closely, but it was very well received. So I was excited because you put a lot of work in this and you're passionate about the story. It's our family story, so it's not just for us, it's not, I've worked on this from day one, from the idea of it all the way to where we're at. And so I'm tied to it, and it's our family story. There's my mom's all in it, and just her impact in Phil's life, and Cy, and of course Phil, and just everybody's in it. So it's been really important to me to tell it right. And I was a little nervous. How is our audience going to receive it? But man, I was blown away.
I've already apologized big time, a big apology to Jesus. When I was 28 years old, I apologized for the way I'd operated. In one sense, I'm sorry that there's a huge audience that's fixing to see my apology, what led to my apology. But I just want them to understand, I apologize to all of our listeners for behaving as a heathen for the first 28 years of my life. I'm sorry. I've already apologized to God about it, and he's the only one that counts. But for all the people that might have run up on me during the period of drunken, just satanic behavior, I'm sorry that it took that long.
Yeah. I think people, when they see it, even the way it's filmed, we did this in a way, it's got a realness to it that I'm very proud of. Jace, you mentioned on there on the movie art, which we can probably put that up on the
YouTube.
If
one person is brought to Jesus because of that movie, if one, it comes to Jesus because of it, I will be a happy man.
Well, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. I think Phil, you're going to see, I'm just looking at the podcast. I'm still overwhelmed at how many people have sent messages, and I've read them on Facebook pages and Instagram pages and emails we've gotten. How many people have met Jesus for the very first time listening to this podcast, which is so funny because, we just get here and talk, and it's somewhat ADD, and there's a lot of ADHD going on here where it's hard to follow it, but like, I just think that people come in and they hear us talking about the Word of God's powerful, and I think your testimony is extremely powerful because everybody knows about you and Kay and the life that you live now. They know about your legacy. They know about the godly children that you've raised up, the grandchildren. They see that, and that's kind of like, I think you guys have been an example for millions of people across the globe.
The first week of my conversion, and the first time I ran up on the people of God until I, a little boy there, but it didn't take. But at 28, when I came to Jesus, one of the sisters, when I went down front, I'd pulled some stunt after I was converted, get drunk, I think. But I looked around, and this sister comes up. She hugs me, and she says, "Phil, I love you." I never had seen a woman before in my life. So I got outside and asked Miss Kay, I said, did you see that woman hug me? And she told me she loved me. I never had seen her before. And Miss Kay said, "She's one of your sisters. She really does." I said, "But I just got through telling that bunch that I was a low-down heathen." She said, everybody has been a low-down heathen at some point. So she's just saying, welcome, and I'm glad you made the decision. At the time, I didn't even know, as it turned out, what love was as far as interaction with my neighbors. I didn't think about, I'm now going to love them. It was just not in my, in the makeup, you know, so I had to learn how to love.
Yeah. I think that's the part that people will see the beginning of that. They'll see the beginning of you seeing that for the first time. And I think that's the power of especially where you came out of.
I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what love for my fellow man was. I didn't get it until I was converted to Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. I didn't care. But all of a sudden, I'm interacting with people, and they're telling me they love me. And I said, well, I don't even know who they are, which I learned a valuable lesson there. We don't hate people who don't believe in God. We love them. We try to get them to point them there, and it's so life-changing, you know. We've experienced it, and we're saying, why don't you try this? You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, the Spirit of God will help you learn how to love. But that was a foreign concept to me at the time.
Yeah, I think look at world.
It, one of the problems among mankind worldwide is they don't love each other. If they all did love each other, just think about what a marker that would be and a life-changing experience, and governments would change if people just loved each other. No strings attached, color, all this. Now, do you love each other? That's the question. So only with Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God and faith, you'll see it there, but everywhere else, it ain't there, boys.
Well, you know, James made a point on the past podcast about being drawn to movies that are true stories. And it's interesting because we talked about this, the true story of the Robertson family. But there's something about that, the power of witness, whatever it is, that you're seeing something that's worthy of someone, you know, making a movie about it. And I think it's the same thing here. And I think I've realized even more the last couple of Sundays I preached out of Acts about when Peter essentially was opened up the keys to the kingdom of heaven, you know, that he had talked about, Jesus had talked about in Matthew 16. And, you know, it hit me when I thought about it. It said, you know, Jesus only appeared to a few people. You know, he could appear to everybody, but he didn't. I mean, we know from what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, it was maybe 500 people total, but the one he appeared the most to were his inner circle. And the reason he did it was so that they would tell the story about him. That's how he designed it.
And think of the Apostle Paul having to say to an audience, listen, I'm doing the work of God now and preaching the good news, but I just want you to know that before I took this job, you know, God gave me a little hey, check this out. And we had a little meeting.
He was blind?
And he was blind.
He was blind.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, I was having Christian people stoned to death.
Right.
And ordering them to be killed on the spot. Well, it made me feel a little bit better about what a rascal I was. The Apostle Paul going around killing people who had faith in Jesus. He had them killed. So,
But Phil, you can't. I mean, I remember you said one time, you said you're either a rank heathen, like you were, this is your words, or you're just a heathen.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny. But you said that because that's part of understanding who you are as a human. There's no one good.
So, Dad, the guy you asked about earlier in the Bible is from the guy from John 9, where he was blind and Jesus healed him.
Yep.
And here's what he said. Because they were saying, well, this guy couldn't heal. He's a sinner. He couldn't heal you. Here's what the guy said. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.
That's it.
Which that was the verse you were asking about earlier. So what I'm saying is, he was a witness of the fact of the power of Jesus. Now, they were trying to recreate the narrative and all that stuff, but the truth of the story was, is he was blind and now he could see.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of ties in with really
that's the point pretty of the well whole where I was. That's where I was.
That's it. I mean, in spiritual blindness is the same way. In fact, it's worse because it gets your, it can take your soul.
You can't see it. I mean, you can't see it. You can, I think that's the story, right? I mean, Phil, you watch the film, you'll see that when you're in that moment, I mean, it's you just couldn't see. You could not see.
I haven't seen the movie because it hasn't been released. I hasn't, but you know, just the thought of it, you know, they're going to probe into your sins. I mean,
he's a little worried about it. Yeah.
I'm embarrassing.
He's not letting him watch the movie. So,
we're going to do a screening for the family, hopefully in June. So, but before it comes out, so I want everybody to be together. It's going to be an incredible experience. You know, even the clips that y'all have seen, those were pretty powerful moments as a family when we got together, you know, and when I'm looking at all of us and the whole room's crying, I'm like, I think that God's doing something here. And it was tears of joy because it was tears it was a testimony of the goodness of God that he relentlessly pursued. You know, you, Phil, and Kay too. I mean, it's her story too. And from that, I mean, even in the midst, I think the takeaway is this: even in the midst of brokenness, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of, hey, we didn't do everything right. I mean, first, you know, several years of Jace's life and now your life. I mean, there's some darkness there, but the guy can take that and turn it into something beautiful. I think that's the hope. And to Jace's point, in the grand scheme of things, when we're all, your story is pretty bad when you compare it to some people's, but when you compare your story to Jesus, when you compare your story to a holy triune God, we all stand equally fallen short at his glory. I mean, nobody's, you know, we're all infinitely
that
separated.
That makes me feel
him.
A little better.
I'll say this, Zach, 50 years later, Jace and I were the product of Dad's transformation and everything from before. And 50 years later, we're sitting around a table talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
So I'd say it worked out pretty well. Yeah. I mean, you know, we could have gone the bitter route and, you know, just.
That's a great point.
You know, here we are 50 years later.
Well, I was going to read.
That's the part you do know.
I think you know, a lot of the problems with when you read the Bible and study it is the practical application. Because, I mean, you just think about what we've been studying in Luke. And, you know, here was Zechariah. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then when God answered his prayer, he didn't believe because he was looking at, you know, his anatomy and he was old and and probably some bitterness. It's like, well, you know, I wanted you to answer the prayer when I was young. And we wanted to be parents. And so here God has chosen them to be the parents of John the Baptist.
By the way, what do you think of how old Zechariah? What do you figure? I'm 77, just turned 77.
I think he was probably older than you.
Might have been older.
I mean, that's my opinion. So he writes a song because, you know, after the Lord shut him up for 9 months plus, then and he finally gets it, you know, that this is not about him. And it was kind of an embarrassing, it made me think that when he said embarrassing, but just think about what he sung, and this is where we left off, but I think it applies, the practical application of this as to what we're talking about. When he said in verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." And before I read this next part, you get it now that Zechariah's been doing some studying because he hadn't been talking. He's been having some quiet
and he hadn't been at the temple because he left there. Yeah.
So, you know, for a year,
he was
here,
an elder.
He's figured it all out. I know, but he's figured out God's plan, and God has chosen him despite his unbelief.
Yep.
So, because the next statement is what really I wanted to bring out.
What verse are you reading?
78 of Luke 1.
And remember, this is a prophecy too. I mean, so this
is the
Holy
Spirit. Well, and it's a song slash prophecy. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which, talking about Jesus coming and bringing, and John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. Because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. And first you're thinking, what's he talking about? The sun, the big ball of fire? No, he's talking about the sun, S-O-N, watch, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Well, that's exactly what happened to you, Phil. You were blind, and all of a sudden there was a light shown.
Yeah.
Through Jesus.
You're helping me feel a little better.
Yeah. In the shadow of death, because you wouldn't even be here had you not come to Jesus. Because, I mean, I don't have to see the movie. I saw the Cliff Notes in real life. You can't keep putting that to the test and expect to survive that kind of lifestyle.
That's right.
And so I just think that's what God does, and he's going to mention it in this next
section. By the way, I was shot at.
Section two.
During my drunken days, I was shot at with a pistol, and it missed me by inches.
Yeah.
But he missed me.
Well, that was my point. You were probably going to be shot at again.
Yeah, you were headed down. I mean, what's funny is when we did all the interviews.
He came up with a pistol, and from the hip, I'm sitting on one side of the car, and he's on the other of the truck. Boom, the bullet goes right in front of me. Then I have to work him over for trying to pull a stunt like that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, man, I'm telling you, I'm lucky to be here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you are.
And so is he.
I don't know whether that scene's in the movie or not, but it had happened.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The crazy part is I do all the interviews, and I mean, it was hours of interviews with the family, which is where we lifted pretty much every scene. I mean, these are all true stories. And then after the fact, Phil, like after I've already got everything done, he tells me that the story that he just told. I'm like, how does that story not make it into your your first round of stories? I mean, how bad did you have to make that? That's like, oh, by the way, this also happened as well.
Yeah.
But no, that did not. I wish if you'd have told me about that one while we did the interviews, I would have certainly had it in there. Life you're living, I mean,
that's just one more you can add to the list of living without God, you know, just drunkenness, gunfire.
I was talking with Gordon about this, and we were actually talking about Phyllis, but we're talking about the providential hand of God, because, you know, Phyllis comes to us, and she's already in her 40s, so we don't know anything about her life, and so she starts describing her childhood and her life to me, and instantly, I think, well, God had his hand on you, like you were protected through some rough circumstances to become the daughter of the Almighty and eventually to find us. But, you know, I got to thinking about it. We could say the same thing about you, because you were living like a heathen.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just the story you just told. I remember all the DUIs and the truck wrecks and the total vehicles. And any of those could have killed.
I told a lot about three vehicles.
Could have killed or damaged you beyond being able to do what you're doing now. So, obviously, God in his wisdom and outside of time knew what you were going to become. So I can't help but think maybe there was a little bit of protection you didn't know about that was going on.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You're still here.
So you guys haven't seen the trailer either. So I will show you guys the trailer today.
Oh, we're in the in crowd. We get to see this.
You'll be in the in crowd. So the snap.
Zach, you need to show us. We're influencers. We can talk it up.
I will show you all the trailer.
Show it to me and then send me a bumper sticker that says, I saw the trailer.
So if you want to get the bumper sticker, we might need to do that. I might come up with bumper stickers. I saw the trailer, the blind. I might actually do that. That's a good idea.
Swerves into so many great marketing ideas.
Well, I need to hire Jace for a marketing team.
Yeah.
Well, just look at me. look at me. All right, now insert a picture of my wife. You don't think I don't know how to market?
I pulled off the greatest marketing coup in the marketing history himself. Of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's what were your in-laws saying?
Everybody's
nope.
crying.
You ain't going to marry him.
Screaming, nope. No. I mean, what's that? Nope. I've been married 32 precious years.
You are a marketer.
He's a marketer.
He started with himself. The origins of that.
Yeah. Well, I get my material from a little place called the Bible.
Okay. So, that's good. That's good.
And you could be wrong.
Yeah, because I'm human. But I own it. See, I own this.
I doubt it.
No, I didn't put that. You're the one coming out with that. I doubt it. I just left it at this. I could be wrong. So.
Oh, man.
And I could be, but I'm trying to get to Luke 2, if y'all will come join me.
Well, let me say this before we get to Luke 2.
Before you get there, Zach.
This is a Bible study. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it is a Bible study, but people do want to see the trailer. So I just want to remind you, there's a place you can go to watch it. You go to theblindmovie.com. By the time this podcast drops this week, I think it should be out.
No, so if you'll promise them a teaser. Bumper sticker, they'll do it. They're not going. All you need is one bumper sticker. Just say, one look, if you sticker. Go watch it, and then it'll register that they watched it.
The
do the email, and you send them a bumper sticker, and this thing will take off and go crazy.
I will talk to the powers that be about getting a bumper sticker. I'm going to write it down right here.
Yeah. You don't have to do it exactly like what I said, but just something to that effect, because people are crazy like that.
I've seen the trailer. I've seen the trailer. Theblindmovie.com will be like the hashtag at the bottom of it. Yeah, well, you know what? We're going to work on that. I will work on
because that gets in front
stickers.
Of a lot of eyeballs. But I will say this, and just my appreciation to Unashamed Nation, because we just sent out, I know, to the Facebook group, we were talking about a title for the book. But, you know, we lean on you guys to give us ideas. Jace is doing a whole show because of you. I mean, he asked you what you thought. You said do it, and he's doing it.
What show is that?
Duck Family Treasures.
Oh, Duck Family Treasures. The one you've been working 80 hours a week on.
I thought you meant we supposed to do another show. I was going to say,
have you really been doing a show, or are you just like taking time off?
What are you trying to add another show? I was supposed to say, ain't nobody got time.
No, I meant when you made the decision to do Duck Family Treasures.
I didn't want to do it, but the crowd, the people listening.
So to Zach's point, the community. Yeah, to Zach's point, you guys are going to be a big part of this movie been successful, and so
word of mouth, it is Unashamed Nation is you guys the I mean that's the family that's gonna I mean they really I can't overestimate the importance that all of you have played and everything we're doing. I mean you're a part of it. I mean seriously, I mean it's everything we're doing is really because of you guys supporting us and getting behind it. So The Blind is certainly no exception. In fact, you know, I talk about you guys all the time when we're in these meetings because these kind of movies are hard to get out just because of the nature of what we're saying. You know, it's not like Hollywood's clamoring to put our stuff out there, but it's kind of hard to deny it when you see the response of a community that says, no, we want to be a part of this. We want to see this. And so, that helps. So y'all go sign up blindmovie.com. Maybe you'll get a bumper sticker. We'll see.
All right.
That's all you got to do. It's a little thing. Well, that's what I was trying to make a practical application here on this.
We've been waiting for it, Jace.
Thank you.
I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for this application.
Because look, I read this. I've heard this story hundreds of times. And usually every Christmas, you see the birth of Jesus play out.
Yeah, plays, cantatas, musicals.
For some reason, when I read these passages in the past week, I thought that every one of those groups of people who had the plays need to repent. They missed it. Yeah, I said it, and, you know.
All Christmas presentations, all Christmas, repent.
Yep, they got it wrong. Because it's all so flowery and pageantry, and you have smiling, you know, farm animals, and... Well, I read this, and this sounds horrible. Here's a pregnant woman having to walk miles. They can't get a room. I mean, I saw my wife have three children. I mean, that was rough. I can't imagine doing that out in the middle of a field.
In a barn.
I don't even know if it's a barn. It was just a some covering.
Probably a cave.
With, you know, poop everywhere. I mean, have you been to a farm lately?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, this just doesn't seem to fit the narrative that we're led to believe.
It was definitely a lot. You're right about one thing for sure. It was a much more raw, rough situation.
No doubt.
Than we portray it to be.
No doubt.
With everything clean and the little baby there. It was very raw and rough. Well, by and the way, Jace, that was
one of the wildest births I've ever read about.
So it's 80 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem.
Yeah, 80 miles.
It's actually up because the sea level is higher. So
you're like, oh, it's 80 miles. Oh, you take a bus, you'll be there. No, there's no bus. We're talking about a donkey.
Yeah, and walking.
And walking, and you're pregnant, about to pop. And just think about this. I mean, do the math. All these people around here, all your friends and all, they're like, oh, so you just got married. Now, how long have you been married? And
technically, we're still not married. We were betrothed.
Yeah, but don't say you don't do the math. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're getting married. Oh, but you're pregnant. Well, wait a minute now. When did you get married? And so you have this big cloud hanging over them.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody basically support them. They don't have a room in the inn. And when you hear the part about the angel, you know, I guess we could read this. All right, let me read this. So, and look, I'm going to tell you something else. This doesn't start off with in a galaxy far, far away. I think is that Star Wars?
It is Star Wars. Yeah.
This starts off saying, chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Now, look, I looked up Caesar Augustus, and you know what I found? He was actually a Roman emperor, the first Roman emperor.
Yep.
About, you know, roughly a little over 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
Ha! What a coincidence. They made this up and they got that right.
Yep.
And guess what? In Luke 3:1, there's a guy called Tiberius. And you know what I found? He was the second Roman emperor.
That's right.
Right after the first one.
Yeah, you can't trust that Bible.
Don't trust the Bible.
No, that Bible.
Well, it seems like, I mean, I just thought I'd say that. So they took a census, and look, for the entire Roman world, oh, so Rome was in charge back then, and Luke got that right? I think he got it right.
Yeah.
Okay. This was the first census, and there's this, I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's
name. Quirinius.
Quirinius was governor of Syria. So these are real people.
And you said this before when we started the book, Jace, the more names that Luke puts in, the more authentic
this
the story
becomes,
is.
Yeah,
I mean, y'all believe that? Do you believe him? Old writings about the Bible?
Yeah,
right?
because the more data points you put in here, then the more chances you have to prove this to be wrong. It's one of the evidences of the historical reliability of the New Testament,
right?
Is and the Old Testament for that matter is that it is tied into historical events. Such that if you could disprove the historical or the historicity of it, then you could disprove the whole thing. And it's one of the reasons why we believe this is, you know, true.
That's right.
I like it when you put that I-C-T-Y on everything.
Historicity. Historicity.
Historicity.
No, historicity.
Yeah, I thought, you know, that was something.
There's Jason's word of the day,
well,
historicity.
That's something women get later on in life. That's a hysterectomy. I was just trying to be funny. Probably a bad joke. So Joseph, look, verse 4, also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. Look, to Bethlehem. Now wait for this. I have been there. So there was a town called Bethlehem. And there still is. And I was there, and I was like, of all the places for God to say, yeah, I'm going to make my entrance here. It just doesn't seem like he was trying to make a grand entrance.
It's weird.
And it wasn't very big either, right? It's very small.
Well, I put the same Well, I'll let you finish reading.
Yeah, let's read. I just had to say, I was just trying to make a point here. These are real places with real people, real points of history. Because I'm trying to get you to see that, well, if all that's true, well, what if there actually was a birth of the Lord God Almighty to the same planet you're on? That would be something you might ought to take.
By the way, this was all to fulfill prophecy, but this also was a big pain for this couple to make this 80-mile journey because the Romans made them.
Yes.
So it wasn't like this was convenient.
Yeah, so because he belonged to, because he came to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So we're setting up the history and genealogy here. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And that's why I'm bringing up this sentence.
Scandal.
No religious people are going to support this.
No.
This is, even the people in the world, socially, back then, they're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be the Messiah? No. And he's coming from this situation?
Yeah, I just bet.
Yeah. So.
Scandalous.
What would you be thinking?
Scandalous.
I mean, there's no doubt what you'd be thinking. You're like, oh, look, a king is fixing to be born. You're like, now who is this? It's a teenage girl. She's never been married.
Yeah.
Where are they from? Bethlehem.
Nazareth. Baby
oh,
out
they're
of
from Nazareth. Oh, that's worse.
Nothing good comes
gonna be
from
born
there.
Where's the ceremony for the baby? Oh, no, they just out there in a barn, out in the field. I mean, this is getting almost like Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer even existed.
Jerry Springer just passed away, dude.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
All right, well, I'm gonna find somebody else to make reverence to. So, rest in peace. So he was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, which is weird that she said firstborn. You know, a lot of people debate about this, but, you know, because, in the other reference, it doesn't say anything, but because a firstborn implies more, but, you know, some people say this was a one and done.
Well, and it's probably significant because of what's going to happen later, because the presentation of the temple is because he's the firstborn.
But exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, which, look.
Feeding trough.
This is not, now I'm going back to what I said. Oh, it's a, you know, it's, oh, yeah, you know, the kids and this, you know, the smiling chickens and the manger, you know, it was a feed trough. That they probably cleaned out, you know.
You're right. The modern versions of a manger is a nice, comfy bassinet.
No,
you know.
I told Missy.
Right, well, you reckon that we're here.
Now, before y'all get offended, I told Missy last night. I said, "I'm offended," and she's like, "What?" I was like, "These Christmas programs," and she said, "Why are you offended?" I said, "Because I've been reading the Bible."
Just think of
the She said, don't say anything about that because you're going to offend a lot of people. And I said, well, I hope I do.
You just think about, Jace, the microbes that were crawling around in this hole.
Well, luckily he created the microbes.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, but it is, if you think about it, what's going on here, I mean, I had the same notes when I read it. I put down in here that, you know, when we hear the word manger, immediately the first thing that pops in my mind is like hot chocolate, peppermints, Christmas tree lights.
Yeah.
You know, it's warm and fuzzy. It's good feelings because it's what the song we sing, you know, during Christmas. And so we've whitewashed it. We've made it seem a lot more romantic than it was. I mean, to Al's point, it is a feeding trough.
It's a feeding trough.
It is full of, I mean, it is.
I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to give you a list of things that I noted before we, you know, continue, because we're going to hang out here through overtime and then the next podcast. But when you think about it, Jesus, let's face it, he was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Would you agree or disagree? Whatever tracks were over there, it was the wrong side for pedigree, power, and stat. He had none of that.
Nope.
He was not good looking. You remember Isaiah 52 and 53?
Nothing special to look at.
Nothing.
He didn't look like what we have him portrayed as looking at. And no one would do it because you see the movies and shows.
The way that Isaiah put it was nothing in his appearance would draw people to him.
He had this illegitimate cloud hanging over him. Mm-hmm. This was not reputable.
Scandal.
Yep, scandalous. He was born in a manger. His parents, you know, when they give the doves and pigeons here later.
Yeah, at the temple.
At the temple. That represented the lowest economic class. That was basically like free lunch as far as.
That was how we grew up in school, free lunch.
So he wasn't coming. Look, he was a carpenter.
Yeah.
Just think. I mean, how many carpenters have you seen royal status or priestly, any kind of pedigree? It's just not there. His hometown, I mean, most people, at least, you know, if you're somebody, your hometown will put a sign up and say, you know, he was here or born here. Or I think Willie's got Bernice, you know.
He does.
Population 117.
Homa really
was. They're saying Homa.
He's got Bernice locked down, right?
Jesus didn't even have his hometown locked down. We see that. They're like, who do you think you are? His father died, or it's just not mentioned. Everybody assumes he dies at a young age.
Sure he did.
You know, what happened to him? He didn't go to the great schools. It just doesn't seem like, what is God trying to do? And so that riddle, solving that riddle on why God chose to arrive like that, to me, is a theme of the gospel message, which I will share.
All right, let's end it right there. We'll head over to Overtime and explore that a little bit more, Jace. BlazeTV.com/unashamed. Is where you go to get that bonus Overtime segment.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.